the York Theatre Royal podcast.
This is a special series of episodes live from the Edinburgh Fringe.
Well, I mean, we're live.
You're listening to this once we've got around to editing it all. In this episode, we chatted with the Roaring Girls about their body positivity play, Beach Body Ready.
We did this interview in Pleasance Dome, which, if anyone's been, weirdly feels like it's a swimming pool, but it's not a swimming pool, but...
It sounds like one.
Apologies, yeah. It really sounds like we're in a swimming pool. Kind of wish we were. But yeah, hope you enjoy. And now we're joined by the Roaring Girls, cast and director. So just want to introduce yourselves one at a time.
Hello, I am Jess.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Rachel.
So can you tell us a little bit about yourselves as individuals first, so like going around again?
Oh yeah, so I am Hull, born and bred, and our company is in Hull, we set it up in Hull. I am an actor, company member.
Dog enthusiast.
Beer enthusiast. Give me a dog and a beer and I'm happy basically.
Yeah. So I'm Sarah, I'm originally from Swansea, but now I live in Hull, went to the university there, which is how we all met, and I'm the assistant producer at Absolutely Cultured, so I work full-time as well as doing Roaring Girls as well, which is mental.
I am the director of Beachbody Ready. I work as a director, theatre maker, facilitator, jack of all trades, and I'm, along with Rachel, we're joint artistic directors of the company. We founded the company off the back of doing a master's together about 5 years ago, and managed to pick these girls up along the way and just keep going.
Yeah. And I'm Rachel, actor, writer, bit of all sorts. I also work full time with Sarah at Absolutely Cultured.
Yeah.
Working with volunteers, so yeah, we've been doing the show rehearsals like on weekends, on evenings, like between full-time 9-to-5s, bar work, cafe work, all sorts. Wow. So it's been a journey.
Yeah, so this is your first Fringe. How are you finding it? Is it your first Fringe as a company or
yes.
as individuals?
We've all been up before as individuals, yeah, a few times, but it's the first time that the Roaring Girls have been up. Yeah,
so our university take a lot of their first years up to the Edinburgh Fringe at the end of the first year, and we've all done that. And we've all been up... Again, with various other different companies and things like that, but this is, like I just said, the first time we've managed to make it out of Hull as the Roaring Girls.
What shows have you done before? With
the Roaring Girls? Several. So the highlights are we started with a show called Skirts, Shirts and Vintage Dresses, which I believe I've said wrong. So that's a good start. So I'll start that again, shall I? We started with a show called Shirts, Skirts and Vintage Dresses, which was literally just myself and Rachel as part of Assemblefest. We've since done a couple of Assemblefest commissions,
All
Broken
Bridesmaids,
Little
yeah.
Robots and All the Bridesmaids I Never Had. Broken Little Robots, we then went on and did a studio version of it, which was performed in Hull. And then we did, in 2017, we did a project with the City of Culture and with the university, so we worked with some students as a sort of chorus to create Weathered Estates, which was written by Zod Wignoni and was a sort of a big spectacular for us.
Yeah.
Wow.
So for people that don't know Beachbody Ready, can you sort of explain what it's about?
Yeah, so Beachbody Ready started when Rachel, Lizzie and I, the three fat ones in the company, got stuck in the back of a Ford Fiesta. And we'd sort of never had a conversation about our bodies that was filled with so much joy and celebration and fun and laughter. And so we thought there was a show to be made out of that, so we got cracking with it. But Beachbody Ready is in our style, which is really conversational. It's autobiographical. We jump up and down, we wiggle our bellies, you get a free biscuit. And it's a celebration of our bodies as they are, but it's not a pretend... We don't pretend that we fixed our image of ourselves. It's a really honest, open discussion about the way the media says you should look like, and our individual journeys with our own body image, really. So yeah, it's fun. It'll make you cry a little bit, but hopefully it'll make you laugh a lot as well and want to wiggle your belly too, I think.
Yeah, the audience reaction today, we were just talking about how we had like such a good crowd today. There was laughter, cheering, there was a lot of tears.
Yeah.
Have you had any sort of, because you say you do after show discussions, how have you found the audience's reaction to be throughout the festival?
Phenomenal. Yeah. We always like to say goodbye to our audiences, and we know like the things that we're talking about are very personal, and so people, we always say that we've done our job if someone wants to tell us a story in return.
Okay, yeah.
And so we're always kind of there to support our audiences on the way out. We've had teachers come and say that they want the show at their schools.
Wow.
And that their students should see it. Maybe we'll cut out some of the swearing for that.
Yes.
We've had a doctor come in who said, oh, this has helped me kind of understand how to talk to my fat patients about their body and understand it a bit more. We've had people who, in the show I say I've got polycystic ovaries, and we've had a lot of people come up and say, I've got that and I've never heard that on stage before, so I really feel heard.
I've had a lot of people come up to me as well, because we were saying the show is about two fat lasses and a little one. I'm the little one. And for a long time, I wasn't sure whether actually there was any worth in my story and what I was saying. But what's been really lovely is I've had so many people come up to me and say, because my story revolves around my relationship with exercise and with food. Neither are healthy relationships. And I've had people come up to me and thank me for including that. Either because they're going through it personally, or they know someone who's going through something similar. And so, yeah, it tends to be quite emotional. We've had people coming up crying and asking to give us a hug. We've also had people saying that was absolutely amazing, you know, keep on doing what you're doing. I want my daughter to see this. I want kids to see this. So, yeah, it's really, really... We've been overwhelmed by the responses. It's been lovely, really lovely.
Do you feel the pressure that comes with that when people... and then opening up back to you, kind of how to respond or kind of deal with that?
I don't think it's necessarily a pressure, I think, because the work that we make is so conversational already. Yeah. And a lot of people have said that the show is not so much theatre as it is like a big chat, you know, and we want it to feel like you're in the pub with your mates reminiscing over a pint, or you're in your lounge with your mates in your pyjamas. Like, that's the sort of style of work we make anyway. So I think we're sort of well-versed in how to have those conversations amongst ourselves as a company. So when somebody does come up and wants to share that with us, that's great. We've also got a zine that all of our audiences get at the end, which in the back of it has a list of charities and organisations and people they can go and talk to. So we're hopefully safeguarding people's well-being there by providing them the resource to go away. So if we don't know how to respond with that conversation, we know someone who can. And like Rachel said, we really care about our audiences. Like, they're such a, obviously they're a huge part of what we do. I don't think it's a pressure as much as it is a need for us to provide that welfare for them, I think.
That pack that you give out at the end, I've never seen someone do like something like that before. It's got poems, it's got some artwork, it's got some pictures. Where did that idea come from?
So it came from us wanting to, as we were making the show, we became very aware that the more generalised you make this conversation, the more it becomes like a TED talk, and the less impact it has. And so we really stripped it back to the personal stories, and hopefully, and I think we've seen that, there are audience members who have different experiences but who still resonate with parts of it, and who are inspired to share their own. But obviously by stripping it back, it meant we're telling just three stories, and between the three performers, it then narrows down that the experiences that you're representing. So we wanted to do something that both shared a wealth of other stories from other experiences, from a range of... mostly women, but from a range of ages and racial backgrounds. And, you know, there's an ambassador for an eating disorder charity has written us an article. A woman who is, a mum struggled with her body image and is now a burlesque dancer has written us something. So there's a real range of experiences in there. And just as a thing of, we've told you three stories, here's a handful of loads more. And also here's something to take away and remind you to keep talking, so that you go home and it's on your kitchen table and you pick it up and you go, oh yeah, I remember about that. And then you start sharing your own experiences. And it's all about opening conversations. And as well as providing, as Sarah said, places to go to further that chat and to sort of support you through though, you know, contributing your own experiences?
Yeah, we were painfully aware that we are three white, non-disabled women, cis women as well, and we wanted to make sure that obviously we can't talk about other people's experiences because we haven't lived them, and it would feel really like it's not authentic, and that's what we always strive for. And so through the zine, we wanted to just really kind of diversify, open up the conversation even further.
And I think having watched it, we were talking about how it didn't feel massively gendered. It wasn't overwhelmingly, this is a female problem. Like, you talk about the patriarchy, but that's we all good. Know the patriarchy affects everyone. And like, we had a chat about, you know, can Henry ask you questions?
Yeah, whether I was kind of, yeah.
Absolutely,
men
yeah.
have the same body image.
Exactly. If you have a body, there's a very good chance that there's something about it you don't like.
There's a really good balance of it doesn't matter what size you are, you know, it relates to everybody. Mm. And it was very interesting seeing all the different reactions at the different points from the audience.
Yeah.
And it's just worth mentioning that one of your first lines was about this is a relaxed performance, walk in, walk out, do whatever feels comfortable. And I think that was a really clever thing to do because some people did need to leave because they got a bit upset. Have you had that quite a lot or not really?
I don't think so. I think for us we wanted it to be a relaxed performance because number one, obviously the subject matter that we're talking about can be quite triggering for some people, and they might need to take a moment to leave and then they're welcome to return. But also there are mothers who may need to breastfeed their child, and there are people with maybe learning difficulties or sensory needs that might need to take time to leave the space. So we wanted to make sure that as many people could hear this story as possible. We haven't had that many people leave, have we? We've definitely had audience members come out and are crying and sort of want to give us a cuddle, and so we've had those responses directly. But I think during the show people know that, you know, that things are going to lift. So there's a for those who haven't seen the show, there's a little bit in the middle that, you know, feels a bit sad, and it's And I think that's the pinnacle point for all of us as people, is those ultimately of what have informed our image of ourselves. But the show then picks back up and sort of gets to a place of not resolution, you know, things aren't resolved and we don't now love our bodies and we don't expect everyone to love theirs too. But there's a point where, you know, it becomes hopeful, I think, and people hang on for that, I think.
So how did you begin with starting this show? Kind of what was your process from taking it to an idea to now being at the Fringe?
So when we start making a show, we basically just chat for hours and hours and hours on
end.
It's
like therapy, honestly. Amazing.
Jess always says she can almost hear things unlocking in her brain.
Yeah, the amount, like, it was only the very first time we did this show. It wasn't the 20-minute scratch, was it? It was the version after that. I'd only talked about exercise at that point. I didn't even go anywhere near the food thing because I was in such strong denial that I had a problem with food. And it was only the day before we opened, we sat down with our dramaturg, and I said to her, I was like, I think I might have something to say about eating because I hadn't eaten that day and I felt really poorly. And I was like, I think I might actually need to talk about this. So there was like an early version of that where I sort of scratched the surface. And then for this version, I was also very aware that my parents were going to come and see this. So I was like, I should probably admit to them as well that I'm going to be talking about this stuff. While we were talking about all this stuff in the room, I got such a better understanding of these guys' experiences with their bodies. And like we talked about the fact when I say, it does upset me sometimes when people say, oh, there's nothing on you, eat a sandwich. Or, and you're like, and I've done that to my slim friends. Yeah. You know, I've said to them that your thighs, there's nothing on your thighs, you look great. And actually by doing that, it sort of makes you realise, I've just got to be careful the language that I use. So it was chatting like that, actually. Like Rachel said, stuff unlocked in my brain. I was like, whoa, this is like, it's better than therapy, this. It's amazing.
And I think for us, it's like, it's really a testament to the trust that we have each other and the genuine friendships we have with each other. And in the room, anything we say stays in the room. And we have a sort of a caveat with the show that if at any point, you know, if Jess's parents were in and she happened to not want to say a line, she doesn't have to say it. And you know, there is no questions asked, we will just skip over it and we'll continue. So there's like a real trust in the company of, and the show does, because it's semi-improvised, it naturally sort of changes and each show is different. And there have been times where, you know, I know Rachel has left some things out or Jess has left some things out, and I think I have at some point when there's been people in the room that actually on that day we didn't feel comfortable to say it. So I think the first thing with us creating the work is building that foundation of trust, and yeah. all of our opinions and voices in our rehearsal room are equal, so there's no like hierarchical system either.
It's a really ensemble kind of way of making work. Like Sarah said, there's no hierarchy, there's no at no point does anyone feel like they're not able to be heard, because we're aware that all of our stories are very different and are important to us, and therefore we want to tell them.
Yeah, and something I think is worth mentioning here as well is our producer, Shauna, who's not with us, she's a tour de force of a woman. But in our Arts Council application for this show, she actually wrote in for us to have sessions with Mind, which is a mental health charity. So, and we have those throughout the Fringe as well. So if at any time we're struggling or we need to talk to somebody, we have a number that we can call, and that's been written in as part of our process, because we understand that not only do we have to look after our audiences, we've got to look after ourselves as well.
Yeah, like the post-show conversations you have with people, it's one thing to support someone else, but actually to support yourself through the things you go into in the show.
Yeah.
I was obviously your 20 performances in just at the Fringe. I don't know how many you've done before, but you know, you still get to those emotional places, and it does feel very raw and real, and you're very clearly supporting each other. And yeah, how is that? Obviously, you are actors, but I'm kind of like, I don't know what to call you actors, because this is your story.
We always say that Sarah and I are just moonlighting as actors.
Yeah, we are.
Jess is like a proper actor, does proper plays, like does proper amazing things, and we just turn up and look for the best.
We do, yeah.
It's almost... It treads a line between theatre and kind of performance art.
Yeah.
And almost sort of stand-up in that it is... Yeah. It's like a persona, it is you... in a way, but it's a heightened version of us, I guess, and those emotional moments, like, you know, today Jess got a little bit emotional, and there are days where, you know, Rachel a few days ago was really crying in her bit, and it's because there are days where we're feeling a bit delicate and we're feeling a bit, you know,
audience reactions as well, like if I see someone on the front row, there was a woman who in one of Rachel's stories, a woman said to her, no, like that isn't right, like she vocalised that, and that set you off crying, didn't it, which then set me off crying. So if I hear someone or see someone crying or shaking their head, you know, who's with us, sometimes that's enough to make me go, oh my god, before I've even got my first bit of my story out.
I think the nature of the show being autobiographical and the fact that it is semi-improvised and we've left this space for these guys to play means that a lot of what you see is them and a lot of what you see is their personalities, but it is, you know, we structured it in such a way that we're showing, you know, perhaps sides of them that isn't the full thing. You know, Sarah's not quite as rude to us as she is on stage, you know. mostly, a little bit. But, you know, it is that sort of, it's a persona. It's very much them, but it's also, there is an element of it being slightly removed that gives you a bit of safety in terms of performing.
Talking about the semi-improvised stuff, I mean, you especially, Jess, you were laughing a lot at the jokes. And I was like, the first time you've said them. Can you talk us through how that works and what that's like?
Oh my god.
Basically, when we first did this show, it was like an hour and a half, and we only made an hour, and we just ad-libbed an extra half an hour in there.
Yeah.
First time we ever did the show, the first like 20 minutes, there's a long list for breasts, different names for breasts. And Jess used the word booby doobies,
which she had never said in a rehearsal.
Never said in my life.
And we stopped the show because we were laughing too much. The technicians like flicking through the script going, where on earth are we? And we had to be like, we turned to our technician, we're like, Jess, we're sorry. Just give us 5 minutes and we'll be back on. And it's things like that, like, that we can play with. Like, even to daft things like, we did the show 3 times and... when Sarah talks about being in Miss Wales, we didn't tell her. We were like, to us, you're always going to be Miss Wales. And on the first night, we gave her a crown. On the second night, we gave her a crown and a leap. And on the third night, there was the national anthem, flags.
They're buggers. But I think what happens is naturally there are jokes that come out of the rehearsal room while we're playing, you know, and improvising and having fun. But then there are nights during the show where one of us will just say something and that will stick. So some of the improvised bits are things that were originally improvised that have now made their way into like the basis of the script. And some days there are things that we will just throw in for the hell of it, really. And we like tripping each other up, really, don't we?
But there are moments as well where there are moments that are really key, important story points to hit that are always, even if they might be slightly rephrased occasionally, are always hit. Whereas there are moments, there are bits where we're like, oh, here's a punchline. It doesn't really matter what we say. We just know we want to keep the mood light and get everyone laughing and get everyone feel like they're friends. And so there are bits where Sarah has 3 or 4 jokes that she just uses on rotation. And sometimes she'll say a brand new one. But sometimes it's one we've heard before, but it's not always the same one every time. Yeah. So it keeps it fresh. And it helps us feel like that feeling of you are chatting with mates in the pub. It helps it feel less stale for these guys.
We have sections in the show as well where that's like, so like the beginning and the end, we do a body check-in. So in the middle of like the wobble dance, we say, you know, we say, this is my name's Jess, this is my body. And then we say something about our body that day. So that changed everything. So we've got those set sections where we've got a bit of breathing space where we can talk about how we're feeling that day. But yeah, Sarah's the worst one for me because, oh my God, she stepped out the other day. Oh my God, I could not get my words out. I was crying with laughter. She stepped out in her dressing gown and she pulled a funny face and the audience laughed. Her response was not to be like, oh, what are you laughing at? She looked down and went, oh God, I thought you were laughing because my fanny was out.
And I did. I genuinely for a second
The woman had
thought,
shorts on. I don't know how she thought.
No, but rather than...
Because we're doing such a quick change backstage. It's a genuine fear that one day a boob's just going to be out or something.
I know, we have to check, but I genuinely thought I was all out. And then Jess came out from backstage and had tears rolling down her face and couldn't get her words out. And that stuck us for about 2 minutes. But I think the fun of it is the audience sees that and they laugh along with you and it's fine. And that's the nice thing about the way that we make work is we have those moments for laughter. We have those moments to pause for somebody's having a cry or maybe someone in the audience wants to shout something at us, which happens.
Oh, yeah,
all the
quite a lot. We get a lot of people talking.
Things.
Oh, yeah, nice things.
My favourite heckle was when Rachel talks about doing the cabbage soup diet and she makes the joke of, oh, I mean, it would be lovely if you just have a nice hunk of bread and a pie with it. And someone shouted out, gravy!
It's the most Yorkshire heckle I've ever heard.
But we get a lot of older women especially tend to tut at some of the things that, for example, Sarah talks about a horrible prank that men played on her when she was 18 years old. And we get a lot of the women like, oh, bastards.
You know what, I really wanted to ask you, when you said someone said that they'd stay with you if you lost a couple of stone. I wanted to be like, where? Was it online? Was it in real life? I just wanted to be like, where?
Yeah, there's so many of those stories as me as a fat woman with men that didn't make it into the show. There's actually a bucket load that I have that were originally part of the show, but just there's so many of them that I can't get them all in. So there's only one story that I tell, which was about a horrible incident I had in a bar with a man. But there was a guy who said, you know, I'd sleep with you if you lost a few stone. I had a guy come out of a nightclub and scream fat legs at me and literally kick me in the back of my legs and knock me to the ground. I've had all sorts of things like that where it's, you know, I'd love to see those people try that with me now, because I think in the last 8 years I've really grown as a person and my confidence in myself has really grown, so I would react definitely differently now. But
there was a really interesting thing that happened when some of our stuff online has got comments on of people who, you know, it doesn't bother us, but people who aren't really engaging with what we're talking about, who would just see the picture and say fat, and we get a lot of comments that are just, oh, you're fat, fatties, fat, whatever. And a lot of people have said, oh, does that bother you? And obviously we'd love people to listen, but to be perfectly honest, as a fat woman, it's nothing that's not been said to our faces in the street. And I think that surprises a lot of people, that that's something that you hear regularly. Like, people will go out of their way to tell you that you're fat, or to kick you, or to shout at you in the street, or to make a joke about you, just because you're there. And you sort of develop a bit of a thick skin to it, because, you know.
We got quite a lot of abuse online when we paid advertising on Twitter and Instagram for our show. And we had people say that, these fat body positive people are taking beds from children with cancer in hospitals because you've got diabetes and heart issues.
Promoting an unhealthy lifestyle.
You know, which even if this was true, which I obviously utterly disagree with, isn't even what the show's about. The show is about saying, regardless of what I look like, of my size, of my, you know, even if you were the most unhealthy person in the world, it doesn't affect your value. And it's just a shame that there are people that are obviously seeing it and not ready to engage with that conversation.
Well, Sarah did respond. She was like, you're absolutely right, and we talk about this in the show, so come see the show and have a chat with us after
about
it.
Because I think that's the thing. It's not about whether, you know, being... it's not about what's right or what's wrong or what's healthy and unhealthy, but it's about accepting that these bodies exist. Like, regardless of what's wrong or right with them, these people, these bodies exist. These people are people. And especially when, you know, you get... and people who are size zero, who are doing Victoria's Secret runways, will get the same comments made about their bodies for how slim they are. If you're one extreme or the other, no matter what you do, it's like what Rachel says in the show. One minute you're told to look like Kate Moss, and the next it's Kim Kardashian. And it's what are you supposed to do? No matter what you do, the goalposts are constantly shifting. So it's about the acknowledgement that we exist, we're here, and I will fight for my body, whether you like it or not.
And like you say, it's the patriarchy, so if you're a woman, chances are, it doesn't matter what you look like you just said, you're going to get comments about it.
Yes.
And I'm sure men do as well.
Yeah.
Well, a really interesting comment that we had was that it's about, like, we talk about smashing down the patriarchy, but also the matriarchy.
Yeah.
Because, like, we talk a lot about our mothers and how they have affected our body image.
We all talk about
your mothers.
Yeah, we do.
And wow. Actually, like, how our mothers have had, at times, quite detrimental effects on our mental health regarding body image. And we have those conversations with our mothers, and we sit them down and we go, we get it. Like, you've been to, like, one of the most heartbreaking things that my mum ever said to me was a few years ago. She went, your granddad would be so disappointed that we're all fat now. And it's things like that where you kind of, like, you go, she's had it ingrained into her for so long that, you know, that being fat is wrong, that it is not desirable, that it is the worst thing that you could possibly be. Naturally, that's going to filter down into your children.
Yeah. Well, we had a woman come up to us after a show we did in Hull, and she said it's really made me think about the way I talk about my body in front of my kids. And that's something, like we say, like, our mums have pulled and poked themselves in the mirror, like their mums have and their mums have. And it's just this thing where it's a learned behaviour where we're told we're not allowed to find ourselves attractive, we're not allowed to be happy with our bodies. So it's the fact that she said it's really made me think about that. We've all said if ever we have kids, we're going to really try to talk positively about our bodies. And that is a hard thing to do.
It is.
But if that, it's just that about being around younger people and being like, if they can see that I'm going, oh, I love my squishy belly, or I love that how strong my arms are, rather than being like, I hate my belly and I hate that I've got big biceps. It's just tweaking the language and being a bit more conscious about how we all talk about our bodies in front of younger people, just to try and make that little bit of a difference.
Yeah. So if you were to, what's the future of the show? You've just mentioned maybe schools.
Hopefully, yeah.
So the plan is to tour the show next year, spring, summer. We are going, we're going back to the University of Hull in September, where we all began. And we're doing a couple of performances at the university in September on the 19th and 20th. And then we'll be touring the following year and potentially doing a schools version. We've talked about it a lot, but we need to sort of work out the logistics of that. But I think we'd all love to do something that was a bit more accessible to younger audiences. Yeah. Plenty of people have brought kids in.
Yeah, we had younger people in today, and it's great. Whenever we see younger people, obviously we've got a bit of language, but like a lot of parents have said, oh, it's nothing they don't see on the telly.
No.
But I love that. I always want to say to the parents, thank you so much for bringing them, because I think it is. It's so important to talk about it with kids, especially at the age where they're becoming aware of their bodies and other people's.
Today, wasn't
exactly. Yeah. I think it's really
important. We've known a few people that have come mother daughters that have come, and I think that's really valuable because it's about that.
Definitely.
But also, not that any of you are jumping ship, but obviously it is your stories, and I don't know what the script looks like, but if you were to do another iteration, let's say, you know, another actor had to step in, what would happen to the show?
It wouldn't work, but it would be a different show. And I think that if we were to do that, you'd have to remake the show because it's based on the people that exist within it. And I think it would be possible to have another actor come in, but I think we would have to remake the show to make sure that their story is, you know,
weird. I mean, I will say at this moment, when you mention some scripts. A massive shout out to our dramaturg Lydia Martin,
yes,
who has somehow formed a script from stuff that these guys have written, stuff that these guys have improvised, and is absolutely fantastic. It's really shaped the structure of it. But it is, as Sarah said, it's built on these sort of the building blocks of these three stories, and we could make a show that had a different building block, but it would be a different,
yeah,
it would be a different show.
And that's what's so powerful, and you really feel that as an audience, that it is real, and we believe every single story you tell that it's true, and
yeah,
that's so magic.
I mean, sorry, I was going to say, I think the heartbreaking thing is you probably could make the show a million times over with a million different stories.
Yeah.
Everyone would have something to say.
Yeah.
You know, I think you could franchise it out and do.
Yeah.
You
well,
know,
something that we've talked about is that, like, you couldn't really do a play text of it because so much of it is improvised and it's here, there, and everywhere. But you almost need, like, instructions on how to make the show.
Yeah,
like
a blueprint. Also Hull.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also
But, yeah, it's very much based on these three guys, so I think hopefully they'll come back and do it again. I don't know.
Oh,
if they still like each other.
If we're not sick of each other.
Got the end of Edinburgh to get through first.
Lovely. Thank you. What a lovely note to end on. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Do you want to plug your social media?
Yes, so you can find us on all social media channels, Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at The Roaring Girls. And we've also got a website, www.theroaringgirls.co.uk. So come have a chat with us and start a conversation. We'd love to hear from you.
Good luck with the rest of the friends.
Thank
and
you.
Have an amazing
call
next year.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode.
If you're a first time listener, then we've got plenty of other episodes for you to go back to. Please give us a nice review and tell your friends and family where to find us.
See you soon. Bye.